Pressure and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast. I'm Kelly Toole at KellyThul on Twitter. And with me, as always, successfully advanced the Amazon Prime Directive to the extent that I now have it, is Mel.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter. And I think who we really have to blame for Kelly's fall to the dark side of Amazon Prime is our special guest this week, Sean Schick. Say hi, Sean.
Hello, everyone. As Mel said, I'm Sean Schick. Sean at Sean underscore Schick. Sean like Sean Connery, Schick like the razor. And yes, I gracefully persuaded Kelly Toole to join Amazon Prime. And as an evil nemesis of him, I feel like I've done my duty for bringing him to the dark side.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. He frickin' did the X-ray thing. He had a show going, and he touched it with his finger, and IMDb information came up, and I said, "Oh, I gotta have that. I can't not have that." And then, like the next day, he had actually sold me on it, and then all of a sudden, the next day, they come out with their $67 for a year deal, and
yeah,
it's fate.
It's hard to argue.
I was disappointed that was only for new Prime members. What about those of us who have been with the Empire a long time? We didn't get the special pricing.
Loyalty is not rewarded.
It is not. Oh, well. We're glad that Kelly got to join.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's very cool. So, speaking of loyalty, there's certain musical artists that I'm fairly loyal to in terms of recommendations, and it's been a few shows since I've given an Alice Cooper recommendation, so that nonsense stops today, and I've got my next Alice Cooper recommendation. This one goes back to 1976, the bicentennial year. Alice Cooper Goes to Hell. This is the second album that Alice did after the original Alice Cooper group had parted ways. First one was Welcome to My Nightmare, followed by Alice Cooper Goes to Hell. And it is as advertised. It's the story of Alice Cooper going to hell, but it's Alice Cooper's version of hell. And if you think about the time frame when this comes out, it's 1976. So in Alice's mind, hell clearly has to be a disco.
I was getting ready to guess that. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. And many of Alice's albums have at least a conceptual link that runs through them, like Billion Dollar Babies was about excess and those types of things. School's Out had school-related themes. This one is more actually, it's not really a musical, but it has a kind of a much kind of firmer storyline to it. Again, our good friend Steven, who was introduced to us in Welcome to My Nightmare, now Steven is going to hell and the disco. So it's a really, really good album. It had, in terms of big hits, I Never Cry, the ballad I Never Cry was off of this album, and it did really well. But
ballad and Alice Cooper.
he did three in a row. He had Only Women Bleed, I Never Cry, and How You Gonna See Me Now as three ballads that tracked in the top 40. I don't know why. He does okay singing a ballad.
Did he ever wear a John Travolta disco suit?
Well, I think it's weird because you can go out onto YouTube and do some searches, and from that, basically around this time frame, as he would have been gearing up to go out on this tour, there's some sort of award show that he's on, and he plays a couple songs from this, and it did appear that it had Mad Max-like disco people. They had motorcycle helmets, and it was all very strange. So Alice seemed to wear traditional Alice wear, which is like torn up stuff, and so no leisure suit, John Travolta coolness there. But just a real quick, I guess the other kind of interesting thing on the album is that it was written almost entirely by Alice, Dick Wagner, and Bob Ezrin. And Bob Ezrin's a big name in producing. He's done a lot of things. Worked with Lou Reed a lot. He did Kiss's Destroyer. He's always had a lot of strong sense. He was really instrumental in getting kind of Alice Cooper to move from being kind of a novelty act to a rock band. And so the three of them wrote almost all the songs on here. And it features Dick Wagner on guitar and Steve Hunter. And those two, during, again, this time frame, were just like the monsters of guitar. They played with Lou Reed on Rock and Roll Animal. and those types of things. They were just outstanding. And then Tony Levin, who I'm a huge fan of, bass player, was also performed on this album. So had a good solid band. Starts off with Go to Hell, which I am quite confident is the only rock and roll song that includes a Paul Lynde impersonation. There's actually someone who does a Paul Lynde voice during Goes to Hell, because it's enumerating all the bad things that this person would do, and it's why they need to go to hell. It's like, you'd poison a blind man's dog and steal his cane. You'd gift wrap a leper and send it to your Aunt Jane, except that particular line is said by somebody doing Paul Lynde's voice, which I've never really understood why, but it's there. And then finishes off with, you'd even force feed a diabetic a candy cane and you can go to hell. So good, strong start to the album. Then you get what would have to be Alice Cooper's only disco song, You Gotta Dance, because it's hell and he's got to have the disco song. So there's an Alice disco song. So there you go.
If the 70s were disco area and hell, did he have a follow on for the 80s?
I think he waited all the way until in the 2000s to come up with a revisiting of hell, which means Dragon Town.
Okay.
And but that became much more industrial, much better than disco. Yeah. I prefer my hells to be industrial heavy metal versus disco at any time.
I do agree, though. Disco is hell.
It works.
I see where he's going there. Yeah.
But what's cool about this album is it's a mix of the really kind of, the Go to Hell song is a definite rocker. He still plays it a lot in concert. I'm the Coolest is him kind of singing as the devil, saying how cool he is, and it's kind of a slow, jazzy number, but it's pretty fun. There's a song called Give the Kid a Break, which is done almost in like a doo-wop version, and the background singers are kind of pleading to, you know, give the kid a break and let him go. It doesn't work out well for Alice on there. And finishes at the end with I'm Always Chasing Rainbows. The actual standard, I'm Always Chasing Rainbows, is on here, followed by I'm Going Home, which is an Alice Cooper song. So diversity. There's a lot of diversity on this album. You get your only Alice Cooper disco stuff. You get Go to Hell, which is just about as awesome a song as you can get. Guilty is another really strong, fun Alice Cooper song. So it's good stuff, great musicians. Hell is a disco. What could possibly be wrong with that? And so if you haven't ever listened to Alice Cooper Goes to Hell, that would be my recommendation for this week.
I'll have to listen to that because I haven't, but I do agree with him. Disco is hell.
He carried that dislike for quite a while. He kind of shared that on a number of different times, but this was very clear on that.
Luckily, I was too young at the time to remember much of disco.
How fortunate it was for you.
So. All right, Sean, you're up.
So my recommendation for this week is a mobile application called Vivino. And you may have guessed by the name, it's wine-related. So the premise of the app, and it is available on iOS, Android, and Windows phones, so you've got your choice. But
That's
what it
awesome for the guy that has the window phone. Who is that guy?
That one guy.
Hey,
who's
Bob.
Also probably the developer who works for Vivino. So it tells you how credible the company is when they can pony up for developers on Windows phone, right?
Yeah.
So it has the ability to scan labels, and then it tells you everything you need to know about that particular bottle of wine. So if you're a wine wannabe connoisseur like myself, who has no real idea what's really good, kind of has my own taste, you can use this. You can scan labels of stuff that looks interesting. You'll get reviews. You'll get star ratings. And then the coolest part, at least for a penny pincher like myself, is you get the average cost. So you can tell if where you're buying at is reasonable or not. So it's really interesting. It is slightly ad-supported, but in a very creative way. So if you opt in, they'll send you emails on their latest specials. So if you do like wine, you can order through their site and you'll get discounted wine and discounted shipping. And it's pretty interesting. It's all cloud-based, so I've used it as I've broken phones and still pull down my wine quote-unquote cellar, where I've stored all the ones that I personally like or my wife likes. So we use that app pretty frequently to explore and see what other people like before we'll try a different bottle of wine.
That sounds cool.
So does like the start, does at the beginning when you start up the app, do you have to kind of like swipe down and like a paper bag slides down and opens up? That would be awesome.
You have to close the app before you drive. You can't have it open. No open policies while driving. But
yeah.
And it's really good at focusing, even if you're shaking a little bit.
It is. It's. I was actually really impressed by the fact that you can take a picture of the label, and it recognizes 99% of everything I've ever tried. It can actually find in the database and has reviews for everything. So really, really cool.
So it's not. I'd kind of. I get. Well, I guess you said it, but I had made some assumption that the UPC code was involved in this somehow, but it's not. It's the actual label.
Yeah, it's purely image recognition based on the actual label itself.
Oh, very cool.
Now, if you can't find one in their database, does it have the ability for the users to input that information?
Yes, very much so. So it takes the picture, it'll keep the picture, you can add all the information you want, your personal review, the price that the store is charging. It also uses geolocation to pick the store that you're at, which I thought was nice. Mm-hmm. So my primary two places out here is BevMo in California and Costco, which is a big shopping stop for our household. It'll choose that, and then, if it does not find it, you can add it yourself, and they primarily rely on their users to build that database and that knowledge of the wines.
Well, that's cool, because I definitely have to use something like that to clue me into anything, because I'm one of those people that doesn't know anything at all about wine.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, ooh, look, a 4.3, it's got to be good.
I go for price point.
Is that alcohol content?
The star rating on the app.
Oh, all right. I guess if you want to play it that way, that'd be good no-no, too.
We've got one. I don't know if it's everywhere. Boone's Farm wine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
a big joke around. That's the big joke around here. So.
Yeah, we had a Boone's party every year. That was primarily Boone's, and it was a very popular, among college kids. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is that I didn't even get a buzz off of Boone's. It just made me sick to my stomach. It was like drinking sugar water.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and at that, it tastes better than most wines to me. But like I said, I know nothing about wine. So we mix them. We used to mix them with like Sprite and 7-Up.
So apparently Sean went to a slightly classier college than I did when they would have wine parties, because we had Landerfests, which were Rhinelander beer you could buy by the case in bottles and with a deposit. And basically it was so cheap, when you turned it back in with the deposit, you almost had enough to buy your next case of Rhinelander. And it was priced right, get for the quality. But
were the glasses worth more than the alcohol contained?
Pretty much. So.
That's pretty good. Well, good. I'll have to look at that one so I can educate myself a little better. My recommendation this week is going to be short and sweet, and I hope I haven't mentioned this before. I possibly have, but I can't remember. So if it's a duplicate, I'm sorry, folks, but it's worth mentioning again. It is a website called modulicious.com, and it's essentially a store, but in case you're wondering how you spell modulicious, it's modulicious, and it is the website of one Paul McHugh, and I've mentioned a lot of times on here that I like steampunk, I like cool art type things. And what Paul does is he does what's kind of called altered art, where you take a known sort of, just stuff. It can be junk. It could be something you've picked up at a dollar store, and you kind of mod it and turn it into a new cool piece of art. Now, the one thing I think you guys are going to like about his stuff is he likes Star Wars. And he has an entire line of Buddhas that he has modded to give Stormtrooper heads to, or Boba Fett's head, or Darth Vader's head. Nice. He's really into Star Wars.
A Jabba head for a Buddha?
He does not have any Jabbas yet that I have seen.
Like a Stormtrooper with a big Buddha belly?
Yes, it's basically those Buddha statues that you know, the seated Buddha. He's got some that's that the happy Buddha with the big, huge, looks like a pregnant belly, and then they have stormtrooper heads.
Phenomenal.
Or they're I love Buddhas and I love Star Wars, and one of the first ones I saw that he had done was the Boba Fett one, and I love Boba Fett, so that's what drew me to looking at all of his stuff. But he does more than just that. He actually makes steampunk type helmets. So he's made Darth Vader actual helmets that you could buy out of metal, and they're very cool looking. His website is just really cool for me to go through and look through his store and look at all of the cool stuff that he's done. He has a blog on there as well that he talks about some of the processes that he does. He makes the original, and then he makes molds of that, and then makes the ones that he sells. He also sells these on Etsy. If you're an Etsy buying person like I am, he has a store on Etsy, or you can buy them directly off of his website. But he's in Canada, and he travels around to all of the cons that are in Canada, with his stuff, which is just, it's just really cool stuff. I really like it. I'm always going and checking his store to see if he's got new stuff in, because I've got to see what new heads he's put on the little Buddha bodies. But in addition to all the Star Wars stuff, he makes these cam bots where he takes different doll bodies and puts cameras on them and steampunks them up and roughs them up and just makes them look cool. He makes different sort of guns that you would use in cosplay as well, steampunk ones, ray guns, all sorts of stuff. And he also, this might interest you, Kelly, since you have modded your own little Mooney doll to turn it into Saul. He's got a whole section of ones that he has modded and he sells. So they're really cool. They're very artistic. They're very creative. He has an Optimus Prime helmet that some of you, if you really like Transformers, you might like to look at. But they're just really cool. I like a lot of them. He's very creative with what he's done in the Star Wars universe, and I appreciate that. So I think his website is just fun to look through. Like I said, I'm always looking for something new that he's put up and hoping somebody will get me some of it for a holiday or a birthday.
And does
And
he sell the molds as well?
no, he just sells the little statues that he makes out of them. So
If you combine the mold with Kelly's aluminum smelting pot,
that's
then.
what I'm thinking right now, is that I'm going to be forging these out of aluminum
Yes.
with my one good hand,
Yeah.
at this point. So.
So he's got lots of cool stuff. He's very active on Instagram. I follow his feed on Instagram, which is just going through all of his pictures there. It's a real easy way to look at it all. But it's just really cool. I really love all of the Star Wars effort he has put into there. And I mean, what's not to love about a Boba Fett Buddha? I mean, come on.
Pretty awesome.
So,
Now, the one thing that sounds terrifying, though, is the dolls with cameras. Are
yes.
they like dolls in general scare me? I feel like you add a camera to it, and they're especially terrifying.
Yeah, they're the cameras take the place of their heads, and they're painted all sorts of weird, freaky colors, and he's put modded different like screws into them and steampunked them and all sorts of scary stuff. They're terrifying dolls with cameras for heads. They really are. Not as bad as if he did something with clowns. I hope he never moves into the clown market, but the dolls are pretty scary. So it's modulicious.com. He's also modulicious on Instagram if you want to go follow him over there. But it's a cool thing. Holidays are coming up because it's now October, y'all. Running out of time. So if you've got a Star Wars fan, check it out.
Does he ship via Amazon Prime?
He does not. Not. No. No Prime shipping yet, but we should ask him to join the Empire.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
You're compelling, so that works. So I'd be interested if I love the Star Wars Buddha idea. If so, for each of you, what you if you were to pick, and Mel, it could be either the ones you've already seen, or if you just had full rein to say, this is the Buddha, the Star Wars head on a Buddha body that I want to see. What would it be for you, Mel?
The Gamoran guards could be cool.
That's good.
And I'm always forgetting the little reptile monkey's real name.
Sarlicious.
Something
B. Crumb.
Sarlicious, yes, thank you. I don't know how he would fit on a Buddha body, but he needs to do something with him because he's scary.
Sean?
I think mine would be, I'd have to do multiples of them, but it'd be a host of Ewoks.
Ewok Buddha, that.
Little tiny ones, yes.
Little tiny Ewok Buddhas.
Ooh. You need lots of them.
Interesting.
I mean, they'd be cute and you'd want to rub their bellies.
That would be, that's a really good one, though. And you can make little small ones, so it would be just hundreds of them lined across your desk.
With little spears.
Yes. I struggled a little bit in thinking about, I mean, there's so many, and a couple of ones you mentioned already would certainly be on the short list. I think, so I was kind of going, maybe General Grievous, a General Grievous Buddha might be kind of an interesting thing. But I think I'm going to go with the Jabba Buddha, because I think it just would be kind of cool looking.
But. Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't done Jabba, because you would think that that would go really well with the Buddha body. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure he'll get around to that. But y'all should check them out. They're really cool, and I'll have a link up on the blog post, everybody. But they're just fun. I love them. Combined, two of my favorite things: Buddhas and Star Wars. So.
Cool. All righty. Well, I think then we're going to move in to see if we've got any social media recommendations before we wrap up this week. Strong recommendations all. So, Sean, do you have a social media one for this week?
You know, I do not. No.
Okay, that is perfect. That is perfectly fine. That tends to be Mel and my new model.
Well, Mel, I noticed you did sneak one in.
What's that?
She did sneak one in there a little bit. With
the Instagram. YouTube. Yeah. Anything in addition to that, Mel, or are you going to take credit for that? Okay.
Nope.
I am going to throw one out this week. And it's just, I don't know why we haven't gotten to this guy before, because he's awesome. And he's out there. Corin Nemec at I am Corin Nemec, CORINNEMAC. He's an actor. Love his bio. He's actually, I didn't realize he's a graffiti artist, but his Twitter bio is actor, writer, producer, graffiti artist. And he actually, I think, has some of his work up on the background of his Twitter account, blah, blah, blah. So Corin has been in many, many bad movies. Most recently.
Wonderful bad movies.
Wonderful bad movies. The best kind of bad movies. Most recently, Lake Placid versus Piranha. No, what was it? Lake
Placid.
Lake Placid versus Anaconda recently. But Dracano, I mean, the body of work is impressive. Jurassic Attack. Sand Sharks
was good.
RoboDoc, Dragon Wasps, and he's out there on Twitter, and he's pretty interactive. Mm-hmm. When his movies are running, he's a hoot on there. But even when it's not, he's kind of ID'd the sci-fi geek folks that like a lot of the bad movies, and every once in a while you'll get a favorite or a like or a retweet from him because he's out there paying attention. But he's a nice guy. He's a fun actor, does a great job. Brought us a lot of joy and a lot of bad movies. So I'm going to recommend I am Corin Nemec as my social media recommendation for this week.
I think we can all get behind that social media recommendation.
And with that, I don't know, I find it significantly less rewarding not to say mean things about Matt. but we still need stuff from Matt, so I'm still on my embargo of having to be nice. So now we're all going to get a chance to hear from our good friend Matt, who's going to give you all the information on how you can, the various ways you can connect with Nurture Support, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, an occasionally read email inbox, Twitter, etc. And Matt will give you all those particulars. But before he gives you all that, I'd like to just say thanks for listening, and thank you, Sean, for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
You bet. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Toole.
Nurturing and supporting.